Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Choice by Peter Zhguliov, translated by Sophia Gutkin, narrated by Gabriel Vaughan. Chapter 1. 5 minutes. Level 25. 267 of 500. Attention. You broke the rules and left the quest zone. Attention. You have received the punishment, increasing pain. I opened my eyes. If I felt anything, it was anger at our defeat and the comrades I had to leave behind. The fact that I had no way to save them didn't make it any easier. Yet I didn't have time for self-pity and mourning the dead. Time remaining, pain control, 4 minutes and 49 seconds. I would die too, as soon as the timer reached zero. And I wasn't certain that this scenario could be avoided. Attention, you have received the status of deserter. Return to the quest zone. The message appeared with a slight delay. The system must have worked out how far I'd gone. According to Tatra, this message was the last thing she saw before the pain became unbearable. It didn't just knock her out, it had almost killed her. However, the skill was working because it felt like nothing had changed. But this didn't mean that the deserter status wouldn't be followed by other punishments. True Heart, MR, 8,959 of 10,000 SP. AR, 41,130 of 1 million SP. Although I'd spent a lot on expanding the dungeon and then shuttling the goblins back and forth, the energy reserves remained quite high. There was no need to transfer points from the additional reserve to the main one yet. As usual, the heart responded to the Overlord's arrival with a burst of recognition and joy. It was nice to know that someone loved me and was waiting for me, even if it was a semi-sentient 3-meter crystal column. Activate the voice of the Overlord, 1 SP. Yuli, the evacuation was disrupted. Wait for me with a bag in the fortress beside the True Heart. MR 8958 of 10,000. I didn't mention that it was actually the location of the False Heart. Even if the elders knew the main secret of the dungeon, we hadn't discussed this topic. This wasn't what was worrying me right now. I put a hand on my chest and closed my eyes. Identification. Death mark, inactive. The Lich's mark hadn't disappeared despite the distance. It had only changed status, but it would be a millstone around my neck if I returned. Perhaps there were players in the army who had the skill to remove it, but I couldn't rely on that. Now for the next stage of my plan. I knelt down by the minor altar and placed my hand on it. The nascent soul inside opened its eyes. Sinking complete. Time remaining, pain control, 4 minutes and 26 seconds. This wasn't part of the plan. Fortunately, I had only lost a few seconds. Phew. Attention, would you like to complete the additional quest, First Rebirth, F? Yes, no. I sensed somehow that the request came from the minor altar. I thought I was supposed to reach my personal room or the temple of my patron god. From Heresy's point of view, I had reached the second goal, but now wasn't the time. Activate access to the server. 1 hour, 1 SP. I found myself in the familiar void with access to the skill base. I had previously spent a lot of time and energy trying to find something useful here, which was a big help now. I didn't need to search for the right skill when I could remember the number. Mark Destruction. Rank? E+, level, 1 of 5. Features. Allows you to remove marks. Likelihood of success depends on their strength and rank. ? Cost, 1,000 mana units. What I liked about this skill, one of several similar ones, was the lack of a cooldown, the hidden feature, and, oddly enough, the high price. The system was relatively honest and rarely demanded more without good reason, yet I hadn't seen much point in acquiring such a skill before. There was no guarantee that it could handle a blood mark, but it should be able to destroy the Lich's mark. Study time, 7 minutes. Attention, the communication session can be extended due to insufficient time. I waved the message away. The punishment would take effect before I had time to learn the skill. I had two choices: take the altar with me, or create the marked destruction card, 110 SP. I returned to the real world and snatched the card out of the air. Ready. Saturation, 100 of 100. I had to spend another 10 points to create an E-ranked card. The system took every opportunity to charge a commission. I stood up, approached the heart, and placed my hand on its surface, sensing its joy again. A monster that has been devouring the inhabitants of this place for hundreds and thousands of years. After all, the entire dungeon could be considered its stomach. It was an almost divine power. Activate the portal network, 1 SP. Yes, no. A second later, I found myself in the main hall, the evacuation point for the main forces, a place I didn't really want to be right now. I could have delayed this moment, but...
My lord.
Yuli bowed, holding the bag out to me. The goblins hadn't suffered any losses in the last battle. I had evacuated them through the card, long before the end, plus the players who had left first. Or if they had reached Tsar through the mission using a return card. It was the professional soldiers who had been left to face certain death. Hundreds of eyes were watching me, and it would be wrong to leave without saying a word. Attention! Does everyone remember what I said not long ago? My fears were well-founded. The undead have captured nuclear weapons and detonated one of the landmines. Sadly, I couldn't get everyone out, and the remaining fighters on Tsar are most likely dead. But our mission has not been a failure. I hope to return, and then I will need your help again. The situation is critical, but there is more at stake than just our lives. More than the lives of thousands of players left in the City of Goblins. The future of humanity is at stake. Remember that. I'm sure people still had questions, and some even tried to ask them, but I couldn't afford to delay. There is no time. Prepare a new squad. If I'm successful, I'll summon them through Elder Yuli. Activate the transfer to the personal room, 100 SP. Level, 25, 56 of 500. Time remaining, pain control, 3 minutes and 39 seconds. I was afraid that it wouldn't work for some reason, just like it hadn't worked recently, but everything went smoothly. The world blinked, and I found myself in a white room. Isn't that what they call it in Asian countries? I checked the gates first. None of them were active, which made me doubt my calculations again. I didn't have an extra 100 points to escape this place. If the portals weren't working, then all I could do was wait for the timer to run out. But even an hour was too long in my situation. Although if I died, I would soon be resurrected. Attention, you receive a blood mark for fleeing the battlefield. The blood mark. Only the strong can break the rules. Any player can kill you in the next 24 hours without incurring a punishment. Resurrection using the altar is blocked. Or not, I muttered. The blood mark didn't even display a rank, so it was hard to say which was stronger, it or the guaranteed resurrection. I doubted they would clash with each other. Unlike the usual resurrection, when the soul was drawn to the altar, my version would work even if it was completely destroyed. After the recent synchronization, I'd simply wake up in the dungeon with no memory of the last 5 minutes. I'd know that my plan had failed and I had died, losing half my soul for no good reason. Attention, you have reached your personal room. Additional quest First Rebirth F has been completed. Attention, one of your bloodlines has been awakened. First Rebirth is available to you. The message had popped up as soon as I appeared, but I'd previously adjusted the display so they wouldn't interfere with my actions. Flashing at the edge of my vision, they had disappeared into the system tray. Funny that the additional quest had closed only now. Oh well. It was too late to change anything, so all I could do was follow the plan. I had a little time to satisfy my curiosity, which even the risk of death couldn't suppress. First rebirth. Options. Main line. Hidden bloodline number 1. Unavailable. Unavailable. Decline rebirth. Significantly increases the chance of success on the next attempt. Fortunately, I didn't need to worry about being forced to choose an option. There was no timer, which meant I could postpone the fateful decision, which was pretty good. Mainline. Rebirth as an Archon. D. Progression. Success rate, 30%. Death rate, 10%. Rebirth as a Primeval Monkey. F+, Regression. Success rate, 90%. Death rate, 10%. The regression option seemed rather bizarre and left me cold, even when help suddenly popped up. Evolution, progression, allows you to raise the racial rank while moving along your chosen path. Evolution, regression, throws you back a step, allowing you to strengthen the foundation and choose a different evolutionary path. In other words, if I turned into a monkey, I'd keep a lot of what I had and later become a frost monkey, for example, instead of a human, or a golden monkey, or an elf or something. This was clear proof of the theory of evolution and the chance to see what our distant ancestors looked like. I wasn't planning to choose either, and decided to check the second option with the bloodline. Attention, your blood is too weak. The chance of success is very low. Hidden bloodline number 1, 0.5%. Rebirth as an ogre. D. Progression. Success rate 1%. Death rate 50%. Rebirth as an orc. D. Progression. Success rate 1%. Death rate 50%. Rebirth as a hobgoblin. E. Horizontal evolution. Success rate 5%. Death rate 25%. Rebirth as a goblin. F. Regression. Success rate 30%. Death rate 10%. I hate goblins. I remembered my old motto. Turns out that I can say that because I'm one of them, like the raven. I guessed that if Legion wasn't asleep inside the ring, he would have had a good laugh. I turned to the status window. Race: human, 97%. Goblin, 0.5%. Unknown, 2.5%. Not 3% in the end, but only 0.5%. I didn't bother trying to figure out how long ago one of my ancestors had lain with a beautiful lady goblin. Given that I'd considered the same option not long ago, I wouldn't judge them either. The question was, how had he found a goblin on Earth? Had he arrived on Earth himself? And how, hundreds or even thousands of years before the system came to us? He couldn't have been the only one, since many players had a hidden percentage, even if it was usually lower. Right, and what's this? I jabbed at another icon. Attention, you can awaken the Goblin Blood Legacy. Accept, decline. Attention, the bloodline will be suppressed if you decline. Time remaining, choice, 3 minutes and 42 seconds. Time remaining, pain control, 2 minutes and 21 seconds. There was a timer, so I had to decide right now. I couldn't even consult with the raven. Maybe I'd have enough time to thaw out the statuette, but not to question him using the crystals. Well, it couldn't get any worse. Except. It should have hurt, I suppose, but I felt nothing again. What a useful skill. Goblin blood. One or more parameters may be higher than the racial rank allows. Attributes, none. Attention, you have awakened the bloodline yourself. Select the attribute, the limit of which you wish to remove. Strength, spiritual strength, luck. Interesting. Heresy wasn't on the list, which was logical since I strongly doubted that divine energy had a natural limit. Even if I didn't level up my luck, it was much easier, not to mention cheaper, to remove the limit from the other attributes. Attention. Success. Attention. The first barrier has been removed from luck. Under normal circumstances, I could only remove this barrier when I reached level 51. I might reconsider my strategy in the future and try to reach 10 in luck. Or not. I was pretty happy with the current state of affairs. Nodding to myself, I headed for the nearest motorcycle. I hadn't removed my combat form, so I grunted and threw the bike into the ring's window in one movement, followed by the second bike. I didn't want to be left without such a useful trump card again. If I'd had a second motorcycle from the start, maybe we wouldn't have needed perimeter protection at all. Shit. Time remaining, pain control, 1 minute and 15 seconds. One of the divine portals suddenly lit up. Hera was inviting me to a meeting, but I couldn't accept the invitation right now. Maybe another time? Or...
Attention, you have received an additional quest. Diva, E. Description. Take Diva, the High Priestess of Hera, with you to Sar. Reward, reputation. Punishment, you will no longer be allies.
What a bit... I had no words, but I changed direction and dove into the portal. Once on the familiar mountain, I scanned my surrounding and, without much surprise, found Diva a couple of steps away. The priestess looked lost, but most importantly, she was alive. We would just make it.
You!
Give me your hand. There's no time. If April had hesitated, indicating a reluctance to return, I would have backed off, but she didn't hesitate.
Would you like to place the player Diva in the slaver's bag? Yes? No. Request sent.
The priestess disappeared, and I hurriedly withdrew Dimitri's body from the ring. Hera, I shouted. This is the husband of your high priestess. Please take care of him.
Dimitri may have been a follower of Odin, but it made no sense to carry his body around in the bag. The gods were in touch with each other, and if his soul had survived, the corpse would come in useful. If not, then they could at least bury his body, or maybe come up with something better.
I remember our agreement.
I took a step backwards and found myself on the other side again. A second later, the gate blinked and turned to stone. Attention, your reputation with Hera has improved. Time remaining, pain control, 37 seconds.
I wondered if Hera realized how little time I had, or was she guided by the hour I would have inside the personal room? If I didn't make it, her high priestess was unlikely to escape the bag. Never mind.
Summoning portal, inactive.
Despite the status, it responded with a dim glow as soon as I touched the stone doors.
Attention, return to the quest zone. Select a destination. Random, Quetzalcoatl's Beacon, Inti's Beacon, Heresy, Odin's Beacon, Hera's Beacon. Time remaining, pain control, 18 seconds.
Time was running out, but that was okay because I'd made it. Even though my plan had been based on rather shaky logic and, possibly, intuition. The two extra beacons were a surprise, but I assumed that Diva had left hers where she had died. Even if it was open, I had no intention of going there. Alexander had disappeared trying to reach the temple, so there was a chance that his beacon was somewhere close to it, but I'd had enough of crazy adventures for today. Activate invisibility. What I saw was a kind of bug. I wouldn't have been able to return here and access the portal network without the minor altar. But I had done it once, so I could do it again. I just had to obtain enough system points and wait for the skill's cooldown. But 7 days wasn't 1,000. I would definitely get another chance during the mission.
Time remaining, pain control, 5 seconds.
The time had come to stop relying on myself and reunite with the rest of the circle. If the undead now had nuclear weapons, it jeopardized our entire mission. The Lich had spent one on my squad, but it was hard to say how many he had in total. 2, 3, 5? It was unlikely to help him if we had the access codes, too. Still, the decision to take the priestess with me had been the right one.
Attention. You have chosen Quetzalcoatl's beacon.
Attention, the quest has been updated. Global Quest Number 3, Version 2. Type, Conquest. Information. This is the heavenly city of Sar, once the home of the Goblin Nation. Their gods lost and were defeated,
Although the enemies have retreated, a curse hangs over the city. The center of the city is controlled by the undead, while the outskirts are pillaged by the surviving goblins. Once allies, the living and the dead now face each other in the battle for the altar. Additional information. Earth is in danger. Its enemies are strong and numerous. The only chance for our world to survive is to seize the altar of the Great Y, a fallen goblin god, and dedicate it to one of Earth's gods. Only then shall our world become strong enough to face the threat on equal footing. Destroy the enemies, whoever they are, and fight your way to the altar. Hurry, or you might have no home to return to. Global objective. Difficulty level, A. Capture the altar of the Great Y and dedicate it to a new owner. Reward. Variable depending on the choice. Allies. Players. 6,423 of 13,000. Anticipated enemies. System creatures. Undead. Goblins. Traitors. Followers of outside gods. Local objective. Difficulty level, C. Survive 972 of 1,000 days. Reward. Return to Earth. Penalty for failure. Death. Additional quests. Eradication, D. Destroy the player Iris. Granok, D. Destroy the hero Granok. Grike, E. Free/destroy the hero Grike. The Reborn, E. Free/destroy the other turned players. Reward. Unknown, variable. Penalty for failure, none. Chapter 2. The Commandment. Attention, you are in a conditional safe zone, Quetzalcoatl. Attention, you are in the mission zone. Attention, the deserter status has been removed. The punishment has been canceled. Attention, the blood mark has been removed. Attention, the additional quest Diva has been completed. Hera's attitude to you has improved significantly. Attention, the pain control skill has run out. There was a whole stream of messages. I found myself atop the wall. Although it was day, there were few people in the fortress, and quite a long way to the nearest sentry. Maybe the swordsman had felt the beacon activate, but maybe not, since he hadn't set a fee for using it. Before I searched for the commanders, I had to deal with a few things. Identification. Deathmark, inactive. Another reason why I chose such a remote place to return. The goblin fortress was near the outer edge of the fifth circle, beyond the undead's domain. The lich might have sensed me if I'd used one of the other beacons, but now I could deal with the problem quietly. Learn the mark destruction skill, yes, no. I sat down away from the edge, leaned back against the parapet, and spent the next 7 minutes in a light stupor. Fortunately, no one bothered me. And now... Activate mark destruction. The death mark has been destroyed. You have received 564 units of mana. Wow, so that's the hidden property. I looked at the question marks, and they reluctantly transformed into a description. If only it was so easy with the other skills. Transformation. The mark's energy can be absorbed if it is destroyed. The undead mana felt different from normal mana, but it wasn't bad. Plus, the indicator turned green and not black, as one would expect from death magic. However, the color changed to the one I wanted before my eyes. As my player rank increased, the intuitive interface adapted to me better and better. Even the standard messages sent by the system changed slightly from time to time. I stood up and brushed myself off. I decided not to let Bri out. Its invisibility was much weaker than mine, and with so many players around, someone could possess a scanning ability. I didn't want to lose the ghost again, especially when it was vulnerable to not only salt, but system weapons too. I wasn't sure what condition Diva was in, so it was easier to conduct reconnaissance on my own. If I understood the situation correctly, my old friend and colleague Sahel was now in charge of the fortress. I just needed to find the man, and we would come to an agreement. 4.5 months had passed since I'd left the fortress and ventured into the undead territory. An eternity. So much had happened in that time that the fortress seemed to be in a past life. I had joined the service, undertook training, and fought the king of the golden monkeys. Then came the Leviathan invasion, the expedition to flooded Tokyo, the dungeon, the minor altar, founding of the International Guild, and the gods recognizing my cult, not to mention everything else. I had grown much stronger, but most of my acquaintances had perished. Even the best aren't immortal, let alone the less powerful. May they rest in peace. The losses we suffered weighed heavily on me, and without being aware of it, I took out the scribbled ball a young female goblin had once given me. A cute souvenir. The scientists hadn't shown much interest in the art object, so it wasn't too hard to get them to accept a copy. I wondered how Rebecca was doing. It was hard to say why I carried her gift with me at all. Was it intuition, or the stereotype that a farewell gift from a young virgin must be useful, even if I couldn't sense any magic in it? I snapped my fingers and the ball disappeared back into the ring. In any case, the Sacred Goblin campaign had ended in another defeat, and the survivors had fled beyond the city or returned to the fortress. Hard to know what had happened to Reb. If Hash survived, he would take care of her, and if not, well, I hoped that Reb hadn't been in the fortress when the players reappeared. I'd heard that some goblins had been captured, but had the prisoners survived to this day? I doubted it, although I would ask around. All right, let's go. I walked along the wall, watching the outer courtyard. In accordance with the agreement with the goblins, no one had set fire to the fortress before leaving, and when we returned, we had an overwhelming advantage. It wasn't a battle, but a massacre. I could probably find traces of badly scrubbed bloodstains or bullet holes, but objects from our world added much more novelty. Antennas on roofs, bright canopies, and other such things. And garbage. A cleanup day wouldn't hurt. Madhu, player E, level 2. Judging by his appearance and nickname, the sentry was from India and had become a player quite recently, shortly before the mission began. Yawning, the man raised the binoculars hanging around his neck and studied the courtyard. I tried to figure out what he was looking at, but nothing interesting was happening below. He seemed to be simply bored. Not just him. Most of the sentries I could see from here were blatantly neglecting their duties. They weren't sleeping, of course, since it wasn't yet evening, but it would start to get dark in a couple of hours. It had been a crazy day. Bloody hell. The man smelled of alcohol, so it probably wasn't water splashing around in his flask. If he was drinking while on duty, practically out in the open, then there were serious problems with discipline. I decided not to simply appear before him and request an audience, but to take a look around. I had time. Even if the undead decided to use the nuclear weapons at once, which I doubted, the mines still had to be delivered to the target. I had a few hours at least. Flight. I didn't go any further, but stepped off the wall and glided onto a wrecked magic tower standing in the middle of the courtyard. Only 3 floors remained, but it provided a good view from above. Plus, it could be considered the geometric center of the fortress, and thus a useful place for my next step. Activate search for life. The wave spread 100 meters in each direction, enough to cover the entire fortress. I'm sure many people felt it, yet there was no response. The people below went lazily about their business. The sentries on the walls twiddled their thumbs, and leadership was in no hurry to investigate the source of the threat. Who cares that someone had activated a fundamental undead skill in their very midst? Although hardly anyone here could differentiate between the various types of scanning, or even sense them. More than 10,000 players had landed in the fortress initially. It would have been very cramped. Then the majority went on the campaign, and defense of the strategic point was left to Shiva's faction, mostly Indian people, to put it bluntly. The system did not discriminate, so the chance of a person of a particular nationality being recruited depended on how numerous the nationality was. No quotas, as is fashionable nowadays, or exemptions. Since every sixth person on Earth was from India, the country had plenty of players. There should be over 2,000 of them here. However,
sample complete. Ready to continue?